Dr. Peter McCullough, great to have you on the program. Thanks for taking some time with us here this morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Real quickly, just so our listeners who aren't familiar with Dr. McCullough, he's an internist, a cardiologist, an epidemiologist, very highly credentialed. In fact, even his critics will tell you that he is very highly credentialed. Dr. Peter McCullough, you just got off an interview, was it radio or TV, back in India, and all the talk was on the Omicron variant. Maybe we should start there.
Yeah, we should. I just got off of live Indian TV. Was another doctor there, Dr. Banerjee, and they reported that they are having sweeping cases of Omicron in India now, just like it was we are in the United States. Omicron is the most highly mutated form of the virus. This news really broke after I talked to Joe Rogan in the December 10th CDC report to America. Omicron breaks through all forms of immunity. So if you've had COVID-19 before, you're going to get Omicron. It's a very mild syndrome, about 1 to maybe 3 days at the most. Mild fever, a bit of nasal congestion, headache. It requires no treatment in almost everyone. No pulmonary involvement, thank goodness. People say it feels like receiving a COVID-19 booster vaccine shot. It's the same symptoms. I've managed now just dozens of cases. I've had one or two patients who need some medication to get over a rough spot, especially if they're senior citizens, people in their 80s or 90s. But the average person is going to get through this very easily. And, let's hope this could be, maybe this is the finale in the fireworks display.
I was going to say, I think I just saw a headline. I think it was from either the Washington Times or the Washington Examiner. Something like 45% of all the new COVID cases in America are in New York State right now. Now, we're back in the free state of Montana. New York, highly vaccinated, lots of restrictions still in effect there. So, what is driving the fact that there's such a high number of cases that are taking place in a highly vaccinated state like New York?
In a paper from Subramanian and colleagues, they examined that, and it turns out in countries that the population has a great penetrance of vaccination, they have the biggest problems with COVID. It's almost as if the COVID vaccine program has backfired, and everywhere we see high rates of vaccination, we see higher numbers of cases of COVID. I think that's largely due to the fact that the vaccines have encouraged the emergence of dominant strains, first the Delta, the Delta variant, and now the Omicron variant.
You're coming to Billings, Montana, coming up in January of 2022, being brought in by the Big Sky Liberty Alliance, basically started by five nurses here in Billings, Montana, who did not want to be forced to get the vaccines, and they've been speaking out against some of these other restrictions and mandates as well. What's the message that you want to share or that they've asked you to share when you come to Montana?
You know, that group is wonderful, and they're holding to some principles of bioethics, which is part of our Office of Human Research Protections in the United States. We have six cornerstones of bioethics. The first one is the Nuremberg Code, which comes out of the Nuremberg trials in Nazi Germany, where actually Nazi Germany doctors performed diabolical experiments on the Holocaust victims. And what we know there is that no patient, under any circumstances, for any medical product or vaccine, can receive any pressure, coercion, or threat of reprisal. It cannot happen. It breaks a code of bioethics. And so people are just not going to stand for it. Any pressure regarding any medicine or vaccine, whether it's ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, the Merck pill, the Pfizer pill, a vaccine, it's always one's individual choice. The second very important part of this code of ethics is full informed consent. That's called the Declaration of Helsinki. And patients right now are actually taking the vaccine, but they're not given the safety report from the CDC VAERS system. And those numbers are alarming. We have over 20,000 deaths recorded after the vaccine in our CDC VAERS system. We know half of those are domestic, half are outside the United States reported through our system. We have over 33,000 individuals permanently disabled after the vaccines. Americans are outraged, and the idea of having this be mandated or forced on them they find completely unacceptable.
Yeah, this is what's been the most perplexing to me, is that I think a lot of us, when the vaccine first came out, we're like, okay, good. There's something available for those who are vulnerable or those who are concerned, that we're glad that a vaccine is available. But this idea that they're forcing it upon people, this country is going crazy in parts of the country. I mean, I had a flight layover in Seattle and figured, let's go see what it's looking like downtown, down by Parks Market. And I actually was asked for the first time if I basically had a COVID vaccine passport. And I said, well, I guess I'm not going to your restaurant. Thankfully, I found one that didn't bother checking. But this country is going crazy in parts of the country. What do you think lies ahead for 2022 with 30 seconds to go before our next break?
With the most constrained labor market that we've seen in recent times, Americans can't afford to lose any qualified workers or citizens in their roles in society. So I'm calling for all the vaccine mandates to be dropped immediately. The vaccines themselves should be paused for a careful safety review.
Dr. Peter McCullough, great to have you on the show this morning. One of the thing that's been the most perplexing to me is some of the hospitals and some of the ways they've been responding, or shall we say not responding, to the so-called COVID-19 pandemic. The biggest question I've had is, okay, whether you agree with ivermectin, whether you think it works or not, whatever. If you think it works for you, use it. If your doctor thinks it works for you, great. But same thing with the vaccine. Hey, if your doctor says get it, if your doctor says don't get it, that's between you and your doctor and you guys making those decisions. But the biggest thing for me from a Montana standpoint is, if you've got somebody on their deathbed from COVID-19 in a hospital and their doctor prescribed ivermectin to them or anything else, why wouldn't you at least allow them to try something else? What does it hurt? And then we had hospitals in Missoula, Montana, for example, that were not offering monoclonal antibody treatments, even when other hospitals in Montana were saying, hey, these things are really doing a great job of reducing hospitalizations. If they wanted us to trust them, they're not doing much to help out, are they?
I agree. You know, we're 2 years into this pandemic. And do you know, no hospital in Montana that I'm aware of has claimed to be a center of excellence for COVID care. You know, where's the bravado in Montana? Where's the best medical center for COVID care? When patients get sick and the care needs to be escalated, what's the best place to receive advanced therapy for COVID-19? Who's using the monoclonal antibodies? Who's using innovative protocols? You don't hear anything about it. Now those same hospitals will brag about the best cardiac care, the best cancer care. But in the United States, there is no competition for COVID patients. The hospitals are actually getting paid a full freight charge for taking care of COVID patients. They should be fighting over these patients. They should have their outpatient treatment protocols, inpatient treatment protocols, a lot of innovation. These monoclonal antibodies are wonderful products. Now with Omicron, we're going to end up shifting to the GlaxoSmithKline product, which is the best in class, is sotrovimab. This is a wonderful treatment. Why wouldn't the hospitals advertise this? Why wouldn't they make it very clear that sick seniors can get early treatment? And of course, the doctor's decision reigns supreme over any type of government bureaucratic guideline. Of course, doctors use ivermectin. They use hydroxychloroquine, colchicine, prednisone, budesonide, all the drugs, anticoagulants. The doctors' decision, in shared decision-making with the patient, reigns supreme over any government guideline or any government bureaucratic position on treatment. Governments and agencies don't treat patients, doctors do.
Well, and I think we all know, folks who are immunocompromised, and so for whatever reason, they don't want to get COVID-19, obviously, but they also, maybe their doctor says, I don't know if I can recommend the vaccine for you because of your immunocompromised, system. And so that's why I say you can't judge people for whatever personal decision they make and their doctor makes, right? But that being said, there are other treatments that are out there available. So what are those other treatments that are available? What are you using for your patients in particular?
Well, let me just start with what I think should be a toolkit for each person in Montana now. That means vaccinated, unvaccinated, COVID recovered, still COVID naive. Everybody should have a shoebox. And what should be on the shoebox is six things you can buy over the counter. The first thing is povidone iodine or betadine. This is the brown liquid that doctors use to sterilize wounds in the ER. Buy a bottle of this, $5 online, 10% povidone iodine. You can take a half a teaspoon, put it in a shot glass of 1.5 ounces of water, and then squirt it up the nose with a bulb syringe or a spray bottle, sniff it back, and then spit it out. That kills the virus up in the nose. If you go out to church, you go out to the feed store, you come back, you can pick up the virus. Once you're back home, you settle at home, go ahead and zap it up in your nose. If you get COVID-19, immediately start doing it every 4 hours. There are now 9 studies showing a considerable improvement in symptoms and reduction in the infectivity if we use the povidone iodine. So that's in the box. What else? Supplements. Zinc. 50 milligrams of elemental zinc a day. Most elderly people on diuretics are zinc deficient. Vitamin D3. Everybody in Montana, take 5,000 international units of vitamin D a day. During acute treatment, boost it to 20,000 international units a day. Vitamin C, 3,000 milligrams. And then quercetin, or a supplement a lot of people don't know about. It's very helpful. 500 milligrams a day prevention, 500 milligrams twice a day active treatment. And then one last thing. Actually, a stomach acid antihistamine medicine called famotidine or Pepcid, 80 milligrams a day for active treatment. So those 6 things, povidone iodine liquid, zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, quercetin, and famotidine, those 6 things probably cost you less than $30. Put it in a shoebox, and then you have a good home safety kit to manage COVID-19. We're 2 years into this. People should not be scrambling on what to do with COVID-19 at this point in time. It should not be a panic. Everybody should be very controlled and measured on how to deal with this at home.
Well, and one of the things I heard from one of our local epidemiologists who actually wrote a book about COVID-19 last year is he said, look, you're going to get it. You're going to get it again and again and again and again. But in theory, it weakens every time. And same thing with the vaccine. You're going to get the vaccine, but then you're going to need to get it again, the shot again and again and again and again and again. So the question is, where do we go from here? What's the long-term strategy that needs to be in place? Dr. McCullough, about a minute or so to go.
At this point in time, we should drop testing completely except for acutely sick people. We're doing way too many tests. We know the test, by the way, stays intermittently positive for months after COVID-19. So all this testing in the sports leagues, schools, work, and travel that's done in people with no symptoms needs to be dropped immediately. The CDC, WHO don't support it. It's an overreach. That would be my first constructive step for Montana.